Hello and welcome into this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Laugh. For all intents and purposes, it is tune-up week. No offense to the Pro Court Championship, the PGA Tour. No offense to the BMW PGA Championship on the DP World Tour. But this is a forward-thinking week. So it's a forward-thinking podcast with our eyes on 2 weeks' time. And the Ryder Cup, Rex, of course, that is why 10 of the 12 U.S. Ryder Cuppers are in Napa. Why 11 of the 12 European Ryder Cuppers are in London and Wentworth. You're on the ground in California. Can you feel the intensity ratcheting up? Because we are, Rex, now just 16 days away.
You certainly can. I was a little surprised. Scottie Scheffler was just in the media center, and he almost took a little bit of offense that I think he was six or seven questions in, and no one had actually asked him about being in the Pro Court Championship or what his expectations were. And he made a point of saying, like, is anyone going to ask me a tournament question? And the answer was no.
No.
Like, nothing against the Pro Court Championship. And I think I did an interview on Saturday, and they asked me about this week's event. And I was really clear saying that, look, this fall is going to be the most consequential fall in the history of the PGA Tour, I would argue, for a lot of different reasons that you and I have probably talked about before, just because of the scarcity of PGA Tour cards now and everything else that goes into it. However, we're not talking about that now. We're not going to talk about it next week. We're probably not going to talk about that until we get to the RSM Classic because of the Ryder Cup. It is 100% the content gift that keeps on giving. And there's a reason why 10 of the 12 U.S. players are here this week in the Napa Valley. There's a reason why I'm here in Napa Valley, and it's not because of the Pro Court Championship, which is a great event. I'm not saying anything about it, but the Ryder Cup is going to dominate the conversation really for the next month, if not more, depending on how things play out at Bethpage. And I think most of the players and coaches, and certainly Keegan Bradley, have embraced that. The idea that they showed up yesterday, early Tuesday morning, they all had their pre-assigned pairings. Keegan was waiting in his golf cart behind the first tee. He's not playing this week. He's here as a spectator and as a captain. And you could really see, I think you called it a spring training, maybe a tune-up, I've heard people call it. This felt more like a combine yesterday, where Keegan's getting his team together and he's making sure everyone's on the same page. Even Bryson DeChambeau is here, not at the golf course, but in Napa. He went to the team dinner last night, so you get an idea of how important and how much this means to them.
Combine, we're doing 40-yard dashes, we're doing cone drills, we're doing vertical.
What does the U.S. team look like in shorts?
Exactly, probably not a very pretty sight. I want to go back to Scotty for a minute because he wasn't quite as snippy as he was in Memphis. Remember, he had a little bit of a meltdown the FedEx scene, or no, it was the BMW Championship, where he also bristled with reporters, being like, "Are you guys going to ask me a tournament question?" And that's a little bit different, I guess. It's the second FedEx Cup playoff event. You're 1 week away from the Tour Championship and the crowning of a season-long champion. I get it, but it just seems a little bit naive, a little bit ignorant to wonder why, Rex is here. We have about a half dozen other national media members. They're probably going to be gone by Thursday or Friday after they're done gathering all of the material that they need for preview content for the Ryder Cup. Like, you can't possibly think that we're there to cover the Pro Court Championship, the first of seven FedEx Cup fall events.
You can't. And he actually gave a really impassioned and really interesting answer when he was sort of asked about the first time he got the phone call to play in the Ryder Cup. I believe it was on the 2021 team, and how emotional that was and how it still makes him emotional playing with, quote unquote, the flag on his chest, which is something that Keegan Bradley has said a couple of times. So we should probably get used to that. That seems like it's going to be a company line going through Bethpage. So you can't say on one hand what this means to me and still get emotional and still talk about the idea that I think about this. He said he's been thinking about this since he putted out at Rural Portrush at the Open Championship, that this has been on his mind. So you can't say that on one hand and then question why are you guys here not asking me about the first fall event? Like, you almost have to be a little bit more realistic than that. I'm with you. I'm sure in his mind, you kind of want to go into this week being a creature of habit that we know him to be, doing all of the things that he normally does. And that's not answering Ryder Cup questions. So I get it from that perspective, but I'm right. He's probably being a little naive on this front.
And look, this is a huge boon to the Pro Court Championship to have 10 of the 12 U.S. Ryder Cuppers here. By far the best field they're going to have. I think it's actually commensurate with the BMW PGA Championship, the DP World Tour's flagship event in terms of world ranking points. Like, that's a huge deal. It's a huge deal for the tournament, huge deal for the region to be able to see these players who more often than not are making their debut appearance. We mentioned 10 of 12, 11 of 12 on the European side. Just to clean it up, Sepp Straka not playing at Wentworth.
Babies.
He had a baby a couple of weeks ago, actually during the FedEx Cup playoffs. So he's at
Xander home. Had a baby.
He is Xander as well. Sepp Straka is expected to be with the European Ryder Cup outing next week at Bethpage Black, the scouting trip there. So no concern there. Xander Schauffele at home in Florida with his wife after they welcomed their first child. And Bryson DeChambeau, as you mentioned, ineligible to compete, of course, in the Pro Court Championship, but did make the trip from his home in Dallas, was at the Walker Cup, also at the team meeting on Tuesday, not expected to come out to the tournament because he did not want to be a distraction. I do want to get Rex into the pairings in a little bit because Keegan Bradley did have some say over who was going to play. We've certainly seen that in practice as well. I'll get to your sausage finger in just a moment. But Keegan Bradley, interestingly, is not playing this week in the Bro Court Championship. He's decked out in his Ralph Lauren gear. He's got a cart. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if he has an earpiece, but he actually did meet with the media on Wednesday. You had an opportunity to talk with him. What did Captain Keegan have to say again on the eve of the Pro Court that he's not playing?
That was a very good setup on your front. And get ready with the button because I have a bit of a story. I got myself into a bit of a pickle with the captain on Tuesday afternoon. You and I both, thank you, Little Russ, got a really cool box last week of U.S. team gear from Ralph Lauren. And there was a hoodie in there. There was a really cool golf shirt. There were some other things in there. However, there was a jacket in there that I think both you and I had the same take on. And my comment when I was speaking with Captain Keegan Tuesday morning, my comment to him was, oh, I got that hoodie that he was wearing in that moment in the mail a few days ago. It's really cool. And we were having a conversation. And then I took my phone out and I said, and I also got something else in that box that was a jacket that you and I both received. And I think we had the same reaction. My reaction, what I told Keegan was, a man of a certain age probably can't pull this off. So it immediately went to my son. You can go to the jacket now if you'd like, because the idea is, there it is. It's a bomber jacket of some sort.
Yes, for those of us who are listening audio only, it is a bomber jacket. There appears to be a bald eagle.
That's my son, Cole.
U.S. flag. That is your son. Very nice Ryder Cup scripting. Very handsome. He's looking there on the back. A little bit gaudy.
I told you to take it easy on this front. Yep. I warned you. Let's just keep it at men of a certain age, certainly my age, maybe your age. I don't want to speak for you. I probably couldn't pull this jacket off. When I took it out of the box, I thought to myself, I'm probably never going to wear this. And as it normally works out, my son Cole had already gotten into the box, so he had already called dibs on the jacket. So he took it. My comment to Keegan as we're having this conversation was, I gave it to my son. I'm probably not going to be able to pull it off. And he's sort of looking at me, Keegan is, with a weird look. And finally he goes, that's my gift to the players tonight at the dinner.
again, men of a certain age.
Yes, I certainly that was my think line.
That applies. What's Trevor, 22 years old?
23? Yes. 22 years old. I'm sorry, 21 years old. Okay. I will say, and I'm sure that Colin Morikawa and JT and the rest of them are going to look great in that jacket. However, I probably didn't think it through, which is why I warned you, because I knew you had a very specific idea.
No, I think the jacket is actually sick. I think it actually retails for like $700. It did not fit me for whatever reason. I've actually lost. You can't tell because of my fat face in this YouTube framing. I've actually lost like 15 pounds. It had nothing to do with it. It was just a little bit short. You know who it fit perfectly though, Rex? My wife.
Oh, nice.
My wife, she loves it. We fully intend on keeping it. I'm not gifting this to anyone else. I think it is an awesome jacket, a great collector's item. And I think everyone on the American team will be quite excited to receive that as well.
And like now, I kind of wanted to take it back and maybe frame it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
given the idea that it's going to the team. But you asked me about this team dinner. You asked me about why this is such a special week. It is something. I don't think you and I can overstate how important it is that 10 of the 12 American players are here this week. It's not something they normally do. It's really important to point out that this was really, by many accounts, Scotty and Xander Schauffele's idea. That after Rome, they didn't feel like they were sharp enough. There was a 4 or 5 week break between the Tour Championship and getting to Rome. They felt like they were rusty. They didn't feel like they were ready to play in that event. So they all agreed they were going to show up here. It's Scotty's first time actually in the Napa Valley. And some players, JJ Spahn, has played it every year since he's been on tour. So for some players, it's not that big of a deal. For a Scotty Scheffler, who has made it clear he's tired. He's been through a long season. He's won a lot. He's done historical things. He probably would have rather have taken 4 or 5 weeks off. But the fact that they're buying in to this, the fact that they're buying into Keegan Bradley as a captain. My column today is going to be the PGA of America clearly wanted to go in a different direction with Keegan Bradley. And for right or wrong, they have certainly done that. And look, we're going to play the result on this one. And depending on how things shake out at Bethpage, it's either going to be a brilliant idea, it's going to be the worst idea since Tom Watson. And that's just the way it works out in the media and the social media age. However, I will say that we know Luke Donald is going to be a brilliant captain. He already is a brilliant captain. Keegan Bradley said in his press conference, he might be the best European captain or best captain period. Sorry, he didn't even say European. Might be the best captain he's ever seen. We don't know that about Keegan, but you have to give him credit that he's pulling a lot of levers that haven't been pulled before when it comes to the American team. And what I saw here at Silverado Resort on Tuesday, and certainly through many of the comments this morning, I think the players are buying in.
I mean, it's such a no-brainer, though, isn't it? And it's almost mystifying that this hadn't been the case previously. And Zach Johnson, for all of his warts, only two of his players that year in 2020. I'm sorry, his warts as a captain and what happened in Rome.
I got it.
Resounding defeat. Only two of his players, Justin Thomas and Max Homa, played in the Pro Corps before going on to the Ryder Cup. Justin Thomas obviously was scuffling that year. He didn't qualify for the FedEx Cup playoffs. He was the controversial captain's pick. I think he wanted to show everyone that he was playing decently. I believe he finished in the top 15 that week. Max Homa at that point, I believe, was the defending champion of the Pro Corps, then went on to Rome and was one of the highlights for the Americans, especially with him teaming with Patrick Cantlay. Everyone else had essentially 5 weeks off from competition. Never again. It seems like it does seem like this is going to be the plan moving forward, barring some sort of wholesale changes to the PGA Tour schedule, what could potentially be sliding or shifting backwards. It does seem like this is just a no-brainer. And look, the Europeans are doing the exact same thing. Rory McIlroy and others played the Irish Open last week. Nearly the entire team is at the BMW PGA. It's not even necessarily wrecks at like Wentworth and Silverado, host side of the Pro Corps, or even like reasonable facsimiles for what the players are going to be facing at Bethpage Black. It's about familiarity with each other, being the team bonding exercises, but mostly just being competitive and being competitively sharp, staying in your rhythm, staying in your cadence for tournament preparation. Scottie Scheffler just made mention that he took a couple of days off like he typically does, and then it was right back to work, extending the season, so to speak, for a couple of weeks' time for the majority, almost the entirety of those rosters, just makes so much sense. And I anticipate this being sort of rinse and repeat moving forward.
And I think Scottie Scheffler and Justin Thomas both told us this week, the idea that there was a time when these team events came pretty much right on the heels of Eastlake. You remember going to Paris after Tiger had won the Tour Championship? Oh, yeah. They were getting on a plane that night to fly to Paris. And that probably didn't bode well for Tiger and a lot of players for a different reason. You were probably a bit exhausted going into it. But it's happened at the President's Cup, going to Liberty National just a few years ago. They went straight from Eastlake. I think players would much rather have that. Because, look, you're tired. It takes you a day or two to recover after the Tour Championship and start getting ready. But at least you know your game is sharp. Your game is what you left it being at Eastlake. Whereas if you have 4 or 5 weeks off, I think there's always going to be a question in there. So certainly we can have a conversation going forward about the schedule. This year will be a pivotal year, though. And I'm sure we'll spend the next week or so talking about this as well. The only problem, it seems like, and I'm pretty sure you and I are in agreement on this one, that's wrong with the Ryder Cup, is there's just a home team skew for whatever reason. It seems like more likely than not, you're going to have a home team blowout. And that's just not entertaining. Like, I think that's what both sides are trying to figure out. Like, Luke Donald's trying to figure out how do you get over that hump? Rory McIlroy has been perfectly clear that the hardest thing in sports, not in golf, the hardest thing in sports is to win an away Ryder Cup. So we're going to see exactly which side has thought this through the best. Which side has prepared the best? I heard a really good line that not only do you know that Luke Donald is a good captain, but the European team will have 12 of the same faces that they had in Rome. See what I did there?
You did that. Shane Ryan during our golf roundtable on Monday said that this is genetically the exact same team.
I like 12 very, very faces. Good. That's not my line. It's Doug Ferguson's line. I don't want to steal it from him. But and they were dominant in Rome. So we will see exactly how that home field advantage plays out for the U.S. team this time around. Because I do think if you're setting the odds, I don't know if I'm going to make the American team the favorite.
Yeah, I think, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this plenty over the next 2.5 weeks. This Ryder Cup seems to be a referendum on whether the current model is sustainable. Because you look at the last five Ryder Cups, the average margin of victory has been 6.6 points. You look at on paper, I would actually give a slight skew to the Europeans, not just because the sort of the top of the rankings guys, the Roy McIlroys, the John Rahms, the Tommy Fleetwoods, so on and so forth. But I think the depth is stronger now than they've had in recent years. And even just 2 years ago, we look at the European team. This is such a better team. And some of those guys has really elevated themselves in meaningful, significant ways. And so if this European team, which is playing as well as it is right now, a team that for the very first time, I believe, which was a Rex Hoggard exclusive, is going to be flying to Bethpage Black at the end of the BMW PGA to get in 2 days of work, scouting the golf course. If that team still gets blown out by an American team, which is weaker at the bottom end than it has been in a very long time, I think you could potentially have a problem there and something that needs to be explored a little bit further. Again, I don't think you and I necessarily have solutions to that, but I think it's no one wants to have a Ryder Cup determined solely and strictly by who is the home team. And another blowout in favor of the Americans, I think, could get you potentially in danger of that.
And I don't know where to go with that, because I don't know how much, like, look, there was a time, and you and I had a long conversation in Rome with Paul McGinley about this, that during his captaincy, he was not happy at all with the way the United States set up the golf course. If you remember that conversation, he felt like that the American captains, the home team captains, was having too much say in exactly how the golf course played. I don't know if that's the case anymore. I feel like captains in recent years, going back to Steve Stricker, have pretty much left it up to Kerry Haig, your favorite Australian.
Scotsman,
yes. Your favorite Scotsman. He's actually from England. Sorry, Kerry. I know we do this all the time. Left it in Kerry Haig's hands. And there are going to be things. We asked Keegan Bradley yesterday about, has he cut all the rough at Bethpage Black? And he sort of gave it a sheepish grin and said, we're going to have to find out. And then he immediately fired back and he goes, should I? And it was like, yes, of course you should. Like, it should be nothing but fairways given the team that you have. And that's why Paris was so brilliant for the Europeans. Thomas Bjorn set it up exactly the opposite of what the American team would have wanted. I don't think we have that anymore. If we go to Bethpage and it is another U.S. blowout and we continue the trend, I would argue that had more to do with the home crowd advantage. And I don't know how you mitigate that other than finding neutral sites. And I don't think anybody wants that.
In a conversation that I had with Golf Channel Sky Sports analyst and Victoria's 2014 European Ryder Cup captain Paul McGinley, which is airing Wednesday night on Golf Central and actually be a part, Rex, of our Monday afternoon recap podcast. We're going to include that conversation as a part of that. He mentioned by far the biggest factor is the crowd as opposed to the setup, when particularly we look at the modern player and what they tend to do well. Again, that's Wednesday night as well as part of the Monday podcast. A very, very interesting conversation. Did not want to give too much away on European strategy, but gave just enough to have some nuggets. One thing, Rex, even though Keegan Bradley is not playing, he seems to have his thumb on the scale this week at the Pro Court Championship in terms of the groupings. And I found this very interesting. This is not atypical, at least in recent times, that the captain can have a little bit of a sway with the PGA Tour to get the groupings how they want, even though the Ryder Cup, of course, is not a PGA Tour product. But I think when you look at these groupings, there's four in a row that are going to be playing together that I find very interesting. I'm just going to rattle these off real quick. Scottie Scheffler is going to be playing with Russell Henley, who was his partner a year ago at the President's Cup, as well as JJ Spahn. In the group behind that, it is Harris English playing with Colin Morikawa and assistant Ryder Cup captain Webb Simpson. The group behind that is Sam Burns with Patrick Cantlay, as well as assistant captain Gary Woodland. And finally, final three ball is Cameron Young, Ben Griffin, and Justin Thomas. Those are pods. Those are groupings. Those are pairings that make a lot of sense. Is Keegan Bradley basically just telegraphing, here's who we're going to have together, Europe, good luck?
I was scrambling around Tuesday morning, got here crazy early because I wanted to see exactly like who's going out. Give me the groups, because we're all trying to read between the lines. This is the greatest time of year when you're trying to follow those captain breadcrumbs and figure out exactly what was going to happen. So I'm waiting for the first group to go out yesterday, and I'm asking anyone associated with the players and caddies and whatever the case may be, who's going out with who. And finally, one longtime manager, like an insider, goes, all you have to do is look at Thursday's, Friday's pairings. They're the exact same as these pairings. Like, he's not trying to disguise these in the least. And I, look, it doesn't take much to connect these dots. I was pretty proud of myself when I actually did it. If you look at what happened Tuesday morning, it was Harris English, Colin Morikawa, and they went out with Webb Simpson, a vice captain. They were in the first group. It's pretty clear that Harris and Colin, and again, this is an alternate shot, inside baseball stuff, but when you start breaking down the numbers and personalities, Harris and Colin would make a really good alternate shot pairing. They're both consistent ball strikers. If you set it up correctly, no one's better. Like, Colin Morikawa has not had his best season, but he is still one of the best long iron players in the game. And Harris English's short game is sublime. They would make a really good pairing. The second one that you pointed out, and that mirrors what's going to happen on Thursday and Friday, and that was orchestrated by Keegan Bradley and the PG of America. He admitted as much. And then the second pairing on Tuesday, it was Scotty and Russell Henley that stood out. They had success at the President's Cup. That one's pretty easy to point out. And J.J. Spahn is probably going to be one of those plug-and-play guys when it comes to four ball, whoever seems to be playing best.
I could see J.J. Spahn with Xander Schauffele, former teammates at San Diego State.
Yeah, that works out. Now, Patrick Cantlay is a bit of an outlier here because we know he and Xander have had so much success, maybe not so much in Rome at the Ryder Cup. But if you sort of look at their history, someone pointed out their history at the Zurich Classic in alternate shot, and those numbers are through the roof. I would suggest anyone that has an interest, go look at what they've been able to do in that specific format. It's New Orleans. It's not the Ryder Cup, but it's still worth pointing out. So where they put Patrick this week, I think, is less interesting to me because he's always going to be paired with Xander. The one that stands out is probably JT and Cameron Young being paired together. That one's fascinating on two fronts. One, JT is the veteran member of this team. He chuckled yesterday when we reminded him of that. And I think Cam Young, being the New York guy, being the Bethpage guy, he's going to get the crowd behind him. You would rather not put a rookie in that Friday alternate shot session, specifically when it comes to this rookie on that golf course. But imagine the impact he and JT could have. JT's very emotional. He's going to get out and get the crowd fired up. You could have Cam Young, who would have all of New York behind him. If somehow they could get off to a decent start and get the crowd rolling, you can see the ball moving quickly for the United States. It's not a stretch to look at those four potential pairings and think to yourself, well, the United States could actually come out of day one with maybe not a lead, but if you get a 2-2, even a 3-1 going the Europeans' way, that's not a bad result for the United States.
Yeah, I love doing this. I love reading between the lines. I love.
You don't have to read far.
I know, but I love the thinking of this. Like, Scotty Russell Henley to me was the breakout pairing that Captain Jim Furyk had a year ago at the President's Cup. Just two really strong iron players, and it just puts so much pressure on your opponent to not make a mistake when you're going up against those two guys. Again, I would anticipate a Xander Schauffele, J.J. Spahn type partnership, as well as Xander, again, not in the field this week. Harris English, Colin Morikawa, very complimentary players. Colin Morikawa, one of the best iron players in the world. Harris English's putting, as you mentioned, sublime. I actually think Patrick Cantlay and Sam Burns, you mentioned Patrick Cantlay just sort of going with Xander Schauffele. I think sure. Patrick Cantlay, Sam Burns are very complimentary players as well. Patrick Cantlay, a top 10 iron player on the PGA Tour, particularly from that range from like 150 to 200, which guys are going to be all day at a beefy ballpark like Bethpage Black, paired then with Sam Burns, the best putter on the PGA Tour. JT, Cameron Young, what is the one thing Justin Thomas does not do as well as some of his PGA Tour peers? Drive the golf ball. What is one thing that Cameron Young does better than many of his PGA Tour peers? Drive the golf ball. You couple then JT's iron play with Cameron Young's improved putting, JT's putting as well. I think that could be a very formidable team, which leaves Ben Griffin, Rex, with a Bryson DeChambeau type. Ben Griffin makes a lot of birdies. Bryson DeChambeau makes a lot of birdies, a lot of high energy in that grouping. I could foresee a Ben Griffin, Bryson DeChambeau lead off four balls pairing on Friday afternoon, if that's the direction Keegan Bradley wants to go.
To fill in the blanks, Ben Griffin showed up a little bit later on Tuesday. So I didn't read off with any of those groups. He actually played nine holes yesterday with Brant Snedeker, who's another one of Keegan Bradley's vice captains.
But Brant Snedz is not playing.
He is not playing. There's two things I want to point out on that front, or at least one. Again, alternate shot is where I've chosen to focus because, look, how Friday plays out is going to dictate what happens on Saturday to a large degree. And if any of these or if all of these potential two alternate shot pairings are on a hot run, you're going to continue to ride them, my guess, into the four ball play. Why wouldn't you? It just would make sense. I think Ben Griffin and Bryson DeChambeau is interesting. I don't see it happening, and only for one reason. Nobody other than Ben Griffin, plays the Max Fly golf ball. And nobody spends more time looking into exactly what their golf ball is going to do. No one spends more time talking about what his golf ball does than Bryson DeChambeau. I think that's an X factor. That's something that Bryson probably doesn't
That's why Bryson is going to be playing in four balls.
Sure.
That's why I think Ben Griffin, Bryson DeChambeau in four balls.
Yeah, that's why I'm focused on alternate shot. Like, that's why Ben Griffin is such an outlier when it comes to alternate shot, because you're going to ask a player to play a golf ball that they know absolutely nothing about. By and large, most of these golf balls, all of them, all of the top brands, are roughly the same. There's advantages and disadvantages to each one of them, but they're not that fundamentally different. We don't know. Maybe the Max Fly ball is fundamentally pretty much just like the rest of them, but we just don't know. There's just one player on tour that plays them, Ben Griffin.
Yeah, I was going sort of with the expectation that a Ben Griffin and a Bryson DeChambeau would be four balls only. Sort of the similar discussion that Keegan Bradley. If Keegan Bradley had been a playing captain, I would have just seen Keegan Bradley in four balls only. That's where he has thrived exclusively. Even though Ben Griffin, I think, is a really complete player, the golf ball is certainly an interesting variable that I hadn't thought of until now. I think that's a good point. But I do think Bryson DeChambeau, Ben Griffin in four balls makes a ton of sense. And that may be the way the Team USA is leaning. Keep in mind, Rex, over on the across the pond, the BMW PGA, Luke Donald, very similar thinking with what he could do with his groupings as well. So I'm just going to rifle through some of these. Like, Justin Rose is playing with Tommy Fleetwood. Ludvig Åberg is playing with Matt Fitzpatrick. Scrolling a little bit further here, you have a player like Bob McIntyre, who's playing with Tyrrell Hatton, Rasmus Højgaard, Victor Hovland, Roy McIlroy, surprise, surprise, Shane Lowry, and John Rahm. I don't think there's as much mystery as to what Luke Donald can do, because he already has proven pairings. He already knows what they're capable of doing. Most of those players are in better form than they were even in 2 years ago, which became a five-point rout. But that's why I call this a tune-up week for both teams, because Luke Donald is basically getting a tryout on what these guys are going to be doing, getting them around each other, talking Ryder Cup, thinking Ryder Cup, living and breathing Ryder Cup. I think all of those are very, very good things.
Well, I didn't even put any thought into this. I just pulled this. I pulled the Wikipedia page up for the 2023 Ryder Cup, and the day one alternate shot session went John Rahm, Hatton. They beat Scotty Scheffler and Sam Burns 4-3. It went Åberg and Hovland. They beat Homa and Harmon 4-3. It went Lowry and Straka. They beat Fowler and Morikawa 2-1. And McIlroy and Fleetwood limping up behind, beating Scheffler and Cantlay 2-1. I think that's as deep as you need to be. I mean, if you're, I don't think Luke Donald is going to overthink this. That's pretty clear. Like, you, there's no reason to point to any of those players and be like, well, maybe that's not a good fit this time around.
Luke Donald said that his pairings were not, quote, set in stone. Keegan Bradley, I believe, said, what, 90% certain for what he was going to be doing on Friday morning, which is going to be foursomes, a.k.a. alternate shot. It's still going to give us plenty of fodder, plenty of discussion points over the next couple of weeks. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Ladd. You guys are literal, NBCSports.com/golf, a.k.a. golfchannel.com, for all of the latest news, notes, and insights. Rex and I'll be back on Monday afternoon for a recap of the Procore Championship. Much to Scotty Scheffler's delight, that we'll be focusing on the golf tournament as well as the participation and the performance of those 10 U.S. Ryder Cuppers. We'll also, of course, touch on the BMW PGA Championship, flagship event of the DP World Tour. And just as a reminder, we'll also have the extended conversation with 2014 European Ryder Cup captain Paul McGinley, which was very, very fun. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. Have a good rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.
You're fantasy.